Yes, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and praise the Lord for His presence in this place. I trust that you've already sensed the presence of the Lord here, and as we sing praises unto Him and we are ministered to by the special music, it just draws us a little bit closer to Him. And so what a blessing it is to be in church on this Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 5, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and he goes over a lot of things. It's a tremendous book of the Bible, the book of Ephesians, and he talks a lot about the walk of the believer, the life, how we are to live our lives. And chapter 5 and verses 1 through verse 17, he presents the walk of the believer as God's child, And so I want to read that this morning. If you'll stand with me, if you're able to, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 17, Ephesians in chapter 5. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we do thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you made available for all of us to be here. And for those that are here that took advantage of it, and God, for what we've already received, we thank you for it. But now as we look into this passage of Scripture here in the book of Ephesians, and Lord, I know that you have a message for each one of us through this today. And I just pray that you'd help each one that have an ear to hear what you have for them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The walk of the believer as a child of God. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and I trust that you have, if you've not done that as of yet, then I trust that today you will, because we know not what a day may bring. You know not when the last opportunity that you're going to have. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So if you understand that you're in need of a Savior, you believe that Jesus came to this earth, He died on Calvary's cross, He paid a sin debt that you owed and could not pay, He paid it for you. He resurrected from the grave to be able to give you a gift of everlasting life if you would just believe and then receive it. If you have not received that gift, it is a gift that God wants you to have. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the place of repentance and be saved. And so if you've not been saved today, I trust before you leave here that you'll come to this altar or you'll let somebody take a Bible and share with you exactly not what man says and not what this church says, but what God says a person must do to be saved and have everlasting life. What a tremendous blessing it is. It's a peace that passeth all understanding to know that when my eyes close in death in this life, they will open in eternity to see Jesus face to face and have a glorified body awaiting me in a mansion that Jesus is preparing for us even today. What a blessing it is to have that. What a great peace it is to know that you're saved and have everlasting life. And so if you've not been saved, then I would want you to get saved. But if you are saved, and listen to me, the Bible says that you become a child of God's. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Amen. So he wants you to identify with God Almighty, the Creator God, as being our Heavenly Father. If he's our Heavenly Father, then we are the children of God. So if you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are a child of God's. And so if you are a child of God's, then God's will for you is to follow him. Verse 1, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Look to your Heavenly Father. Look to what he has for you. Look to his will for your life. Follow after God. Now, if you would understand that, and then look to the very last verse that we read in verse 17, the Bible says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Following God is dependent upon understanding his will.
Amen. That's right.
You cannot follow him unless you know how he would have you to follow him. You cannot live as God would have you to unless you know how God would have you to live. Amen? And so we find here in the verses that we read, verse 1 down to verse 17, no doubt verse 1 reveals to us that we are to follow him. And verse 17, the last verse, is the way to follow him is dependent upon understanding his will for your life. Can I tell you the thing that I pray for more than anything else is God's will. In my life, that's probably a prayer that I pray more than any other prayer for myself is, God, I want to know your will. I want to be found in your will. God, lead, guide, and direct me into your will. I want to be in the will of God. I pray that for myself, for my family. I want my family. I pray for my family, for my wife, for my children. And I want God's will for their lives. I would do whatever it is God would have me to do to encourage them and to help them to know God's will for their lives. And so I pray that, God, that you would reveal it to them. As I pray for my children, I pray for my family. The prayer that I pray most often is, God, your will for their lives. The prayer that I pray most often for this church is, God, I want your will for this church. I want this church to be exactly what you want this church to be. No matter what that is and no matter what that entails, God, I pray your will to be done in this church. And then I pray for this church membership. If you're a member of this church, then I pray for God's will for your life on a weekly basis. Every Saturday night, I'm praying for the membership of this church, and I bring your family before the Lord. And the prayer that I pray most often, now, if there's certain things I know, I pray for that, but the prayer I pray for all and the most often prayer for this congregation, and when I come across your family and I try to put myself in your position, in your home, my prayer is, God, I pray your will to be done for this couple. I pray that your will to be done for this family.
Amen.
When you know God and you understand who God is, then you know that there is no better thing to pray for than God's will. When you want someone to follow you, you need to make it possible for them to follow you. Now, this doesn't happen very often, but every now and then, I have to lead my wife in a car. She has to follow me. One of the hardest things that I do is to have her follow me in a vehicle. Because I know how she drives. And many of you know how she drives, and many of you won't drive with her, right with her. So I know how she drives. If I'm going to lead her somewhere, she's following me. We have both cars, and she doesn't know where she's going, so I have to have her follow me so that she can get to where she's going. I want to make sure that I make it to where she can follow me. And so I drive the speed limit. I know that's amazing to some of you that know how I drive. And one of the hardest things for me is to be driving and watching everybody passing me. If you drive the speed limit, especially on 465 around the city here, everyone's going to pass you. But I know that if she's going to follow me, I have to make it possible for her to follow me, so I know, even though I want to jump over in the fast lane and start passing everybody else, I have to stay in the slow lane and I make it possible for her to follow me. When we're going through in town through the regular stoplights, I actually stop at yellow lights. Amen? Most of the time, yellow just means slow down, but still go. And I know if I'm going to have her follow me, that I've got to, if I see the yellow, I can't think about it. I can make it through there. I've got to make it possible for her to follow me, so I actually stop at yellow lights. And when I get ready to turn, as the manual tells us, I actually will turn my turn signal on 500 feet before I come to the turn that I'm going to make. That's when I know that I am leading her, that she is following me. I have to make it possible, no matter how hard it might be, for her to follow. Can I tell you, when God says, "Be ye therefore followers of God," God wants to make it possible for us to be able to follow Him. God has given to us the infallible, eternal Word of God. Amen. For some 2,000 years now, we have had this infallible, eternal Word of God written down and preserved so that we might understand and have every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God says, "I want you to follow me, and if you're going to follow me, then I'm going to make sure that you're able to follow me." And so one of the greatest things that God has ever done for us as His children is He has written down and preserved every word concerning the very will of God for our lives. Amen. And promise that heaven and earth might pass away, but my word shall never pass away. He has promised to preserve it for us throughout this church age, so that we might be able to follow Him. He didn't stop there. Not only has He given us the eternal Word of God, which the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The psalmist understood that. Even in the Old Testament, God's Word was available to them. In the New Testament, we've had this completion of the full revelation of the words of God for some 2,000 years. It's still a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. If that was not enough, He gave us His only begotten Son as an example to follow after. Jesus came, identified with all humanity. He was 100% God. There was never a time when Jesus Christ was not God. In the womb of Mary, He was a virgin born. He was a virgin born Son of God. He was God in the womb. He was God when He was born. He was God for His entire life on this earth. And He lived a sinless life as an example for Christians, those who want to be Christ-like or the children of God, to follow after. We have that recorded for us. has impacted this world possibly like nothing else has ever impacted this world. The life of Christ. And not only has he made it available to us and made it possible by preserving his word, he's made it possible to us by giving us a physical example of the life of Jesus Christ, but he's also done something else for us, enabling us to be able to follow him. He has placed within every child of God an indwelling Holy Spirit that will bear witness with your spirit and give you spiritual direction. Related back to the very words that are in this Bible right here. The Holy Spirit will never lead you opposite the very words of God. He's here to bring everything back to your remembrance and to bring everything into your remembrance and direction concerning what God has preserved for us, his word, and what Jesus Christ himself gave to us as an example. But we have that. That indwelling Holy Spirit. So this morning I want to reaffirm we can understand and follow in his will. We can. The verses that we read this morning, Ephesians in chapter 5, verses 1 through 17, there are two wherefores. In verse 14 it says, wherefore. And in verse 17, it says, wherefore. Now, when you see the word wherefore, the definition of that word is for this reason. So for this reason, verse 14, for this reason, he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So that wherefore could be replaced with the definition of for this reason. And that reason is found in verses 1 through 13, leading up to that word wherefore. And then the second wherefore is found in verse 17. And the reason for this wherefore is found in verse 15 and 16. And that's what I want to present to you this morning. The first is the wherefore of verse 14. The first wherefore, verse 14, says this, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Paraphrase, he's saying this, wake up and turn the spiritual lights on. If you're going to follow God, if you are going to understand his will for your life, and we have to do that to be able to follow God, he says the first thing, if you're going to follow God, you need to wake up and turn the spiritual lights on. So that you can see very clearly what God's will is for your life. Verses 1 through 5, he reveals to us that we need to look to him and turn away from sins. And then he names quite a few of them right here. He describes what we need to turn away from. A couple weeks ago, I preached on hate sin and the sins that the Bible reveals to us and how it will destroy your life. And we need to hate sin. You say, that's a strong word. Yes, it is intended to be a strong word because the Bible says that God hates certain sins. If you hate something, you want to stay away from it. And if we hate sin, then we'll want to stay away from the sin because it's a sin that keeps us from experiencing the will of God in our lives. You cannot experience being in the will of God and have unconfessed sin taking place in your life. You can't do that. And so he says the first thing in verses 1 through 13 that led up to saying, wake up and turn the spiritual light on. He says, wherefore, get rid of the sins in your life. You cannot continue to live with these sins in your life and expect to live in the will of God and have the blessings of a heavenly Father upon your life. Wow. Need to wake up. The Bible names sins. The Bible names them. And if it's a sin that we are engaged in, that the Bible says it's sin, listen to me, you cannot justify that. Don't expect ever for God to condone or justify any sin in your life. Listen to me, you need to wake up. If you think by for some reason that God is allowing you to get by with certain sins in your life and still blessings and still have the blessings of God, you have been deceived by the devil himself. God will never condone sin. God will never justify you of committing any sin. If God says it's sin, it is sin. And if it's sin, I need to learn to hate the sin so that I'll not have it in my life. I'll stay away from it. If I'm looking to God, I need to turn away from what the Bible reveals as being sin. Verse 6, the wherefore, the wake up. If I'm going to turn the spiritual lights on, I need to first of all get rid of the sin in my life, and then I need to be aware of and not allow this to happen. Don't let man's words deceive you. If you was in our Sunday morning Sunday school class, we dealt with this and looking at what the Bible says that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, an awareness of what is going to happen, especially in the last days. And the one thing that we have to be very much aware of as we get closer and closer to the end of days, the end of the world, there is going to be a greater degree of deception when it comes to understanding the will of God. And man's going to say it's all right. And humanity is going to buy into man's acceptance of certain sins when the Bible definitely is against it. And so we have to beware. Don't let man's words deceive you. Verse 6, it says, let no man deceive you with vain words. If they are different than God's words, in time, all will acknowledge them as being vain, empty, deception. So, if God has preserved his word, what would lead us to turn away from what thus saith the Lord and to believe something that is different, that is opposing God's word? Especially when we have been warned time after time after time, don't be deceived. The word of God, he has preserved it just as he has wants us to have it, every word. If God has preserved every word, he expects us to live by every word. And if we have every word, then why would we turn away from the words of the Creator God to believe the lies of humanity or the philosophies of the world? Wake up and turn on the spiritual lives. Get rid of the sin in your life. The sin that the Bible calls sin. If the Bible calls it sin, it's sin. You can't justify it. Turn away from man's words that are meant to deceive you. If they're different from the words of God, then it is deception. Muhammad Abdullah, his words formed the Muslim religion. His words. Now, he tried to connect it and said that it was from God, but if it's not in this Bible, it's not from God. But look how many people in the world have been deceived by the Muslim religion. Joseph Smith, his words founded the Mormon religion. Now, they try to say that they believe this Bible, but then they want to put this aside as quickly as possible and say, let's look to the other book. Let me take you to an extension of the Word of God. Listen, God didn't tell me there was ever going to be an extension. There was no need for an extension. But his words formed the Mormon religion. And look how many today are deceived by the Mormon religion. Charles Taz Russell, his words established the Jehovah Witness religion. I could go on and on and on. But when man's words go opposite the words of this Bible, we are not to be deceived. But so many have been. Now, you might not have been deceived by one of those men, but is there somebody else that you're listening to that's deceiving you? That's trying to get you to think opposite than what this Bible has taught us for 2,000 years? See, Jesus Christ, the virgin-born, only begotten Son of God, is the founder of Christianity. And no matter what anybody says, if they want to try to call it Christianity and add to or take away from what Jesus established, listen to me, true Christianity, we don't need to add to or take away from. We just need to hold on to what Christ taught. He's the only one who was the infallible God. He's the only one that was born of a virgin. He's the only one that is still alive today. He went to the grave. He resurrected from the grave 3 days later and is alive forevermore. He's at the right hand of God the Father, ever living to make intercession for all of those who call upon Him to be their Savior. He has the words of life. They are true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man's going to come into the Father but by Him. So what we need to do is to stop needing to listen to man's words and being deceived by man and focus on the infallible truths that Jesus Christ Himself taught us and has written it down for us for some 2,000 years. Yes, amen. Don't let man's words deceive you. Turn away from the sin. What is sin? Wake up and turn the spiritual lights on. Wherefore? The wherefore, the reason for that is turn away, look to God, turn away from sin. Look to God, turn away from the deceitful words of men. And the last thing here on this part of verse 7 through 13 is highlighted in verse 11. I want you to read verse 11 with me. It says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Wake up and turn the spiritual lights on. What or who are you fellowshipping with that you should not be? What kind of internet site are you fellowshipping with? What kind of television programs are you fellowshipping with? What kind of lost unbelievers are you fellowshipping with? Wake up. Turn the spiritual lights on. Watch your fellowship. The question to ask here says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So the question to ask, my fellowship, am I fellowshipping with that which will be fruit? Or am I fellowship with that where there is no fruit? Fruit is that which God, something that God can use. Is my fellowship with that which God can use to draw me closer to Him? Is my fellowship that which God can use to help me to understand certain things? Is my fellowship that which I'm associating myself with, whether it be men or things, is it something that God can use in my life? And if it's unfruitful, if it's something that God is nowhere around, that God cannot use in your life, listen to me, we need to get rid of that kind of fellowship. Because the fellowship with the world, the fellowship with darkness, is going to hinder your walking in the will of God. Amen. That's exactly what the Bible's telling us right there. It's all written down. He says, in paraphrase, verse 14, wake up, turn the spiritual lights on, realize that Satan will use the fellowship of the darkness to hinder the will of God in your life, and you don't even know it. If you're not careful, you'll be blinded to it. It's what I'm fellowshipping with. You're allowing it to influence you, whether you know it or not. It's influencing you. And if it's influencing you away from the will of God, it will hinder God's ability to bless you. It will hinder God's blessings of peace and joy and purpose for life. So wherefore? Wake up and turn on the spiritual lights. The second wherefore, and this is, be brief, it's not that long. In verse 17, wherefore? Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Can I paraphrase that as well? Don't be foolish. Turn to God's will. Or, if I may, you might not like this word. Don't be stupid. Foolish, stupid, I think it's somewhat the same thing. When it's turning away from God, you can't make a more foolish or more stupid decision than to turn away from God's will for your life. So, wherefore, the reason for that, verse 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because, if you don't know this, the day and age we're living in is evil. Live this life knowing of the evil and dangers all around us. If you're going to live according to the will of God, if you're going to follow Him, you have to be aware of the evil that's going to try to keep you from it. We need to watch every step. That's what that idea there is walk circumspectly, being aware of everything around you. Being aware of everything that could be used by the devil to blind you, anything that could be used by the devil to get you to doubt your faith, anything that could be used by the devil to get you off track from following God, anything that you could be used by the devil to keep you from fully understanding what is the will of God for your life. Walk circumspectly. Be aware that there is a battle being fought. And the most powerful battles that are being fought are not the physical battles, they're the spiritual battles of our lives. And those spiritual battles, the mind is a battleground for all spiritual activity. You'll lose it in your thoughts. You'll lose it in your mind before you'll ever lose it in the physical life. Watch every step. Be aware of every decision and its consequences. Be aware of every decision. We make decisions all day long. Sometimes we're making so many decisions, we just make them without even giving them any thought at all. But listen to me. The decisions you make will not only impact your life, it will impact those around you. If you have a position, if you're a father here, if you're a husband here, then your position is going to impact your family. If you have a position in the church, then your decisions that you make will impact the church that you attend. If you're known as a Christian in your workplace, then the decisions you make in your workplace will impact the witness of Christ on other people's lives. They'll see you, and your decisions will impact your witness to them. Be aware of every decision and its consequences. Make sure that you understand what is God's will. See, going back, the Bible says, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God. That's what God's will is for our lives. Follow Him. He's made it possible to follow Him. But it's dependent upon understanding what the will of the Lord is. As a pastor, I see people making foolish decisions every day. One of the hardest things as a pastor, and you're seeing people making decisions that you know is foolish, you want to go over and shake them and say, no. Make this decision. But you can't. You can pray for them. So what's your prayer? God, help them to know your will. I pray more than any other prayer. God, I can't force anybody to make a right decision, but you can work in their lives and you can help them to see clearly what is your will for their lives. I see people make decisions because they get into it with somebody else in the church, and their decision is the solution, just leave the church. How stupid. How foolish. See, people that they're going through a tough time, and there's some things that are not working out for them, and the decision they make is stop coming to church. You're taking away the very help that God has for you, and you make a decision to stay home because you've got so much going on, and you're dealing with so many different things, and you cut out the thing that's going to help you the most. And I'm thinking, God, help them to see that's not the right thing to do. God, I pray that you'd help them to understand your will for their lives and the will for their lives in dealing with the trials that they're going through and dealing with the circumstances that they're faced with. God, help them not to make foolish decisions. Because when you make a foolish decision, which is a decision outside the Word of God, it's because you're not basing it on the very Word of God. When you base our decisions upon what thus saith the Lord, listen to me, it will always be the wise and the right and the best decision possible. God's will, follow me as my children. As my dear children, follow me. I'll make it available to you. I'll make it possible for you to follow me. I'll not force you, but I'll make it as easy and as possible as I can. Can I tell you, God, through His written down eternal word, through His sending of an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through His indwelling of the Holy Spirit, has done all that He can do. The rest is up to us and our wills. I trust that we would willingly look to follow after God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.